Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast from Wales Online, brought to you by Giovanni's. A Cardiff City win, finally, to talk about after three defeats. No Paul to talk about it, unfortunately, but just myself, Dominic Booth, and Nathan Blake. Nice to have you here, Nathan.
How you doing?
A little change of studio at the last minute because we were a little bit too cold in the
Yes. Blake, in the big boardroom.
Showing our sensitive side there, weren't we, Nathan?
Showing my age, mate.
Get wrapped up warm. It's not been a nice week of weather, has it? But, Nathan, let's get on to the West Ham win. And a complete shift of mood. Cardiff haven't actually moved anywhere on the table, but the mood has shifted a lot with that 90-minute performance.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone really seen it coming. You know, you've just alluded to me about Neil Warnock calling out myself or Gabs on, you know, prior to the game. But you can say what you like. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I've said before, years ago, before you joined our podcast, you know, under the days of, you know, who was manager, Russell Slade and people like that. You know, we can only call what we see. Yeah. Now,
even three defeats. That was what we were seeing.
It wasn't just three defeats. It was the way we were defeated. You know, and it wasn't just the team. It was the crowd, the whole atmosphere, the whole thing had gone into a situation we couldn't explain. You know what I mean? And you had to ask yourself, you as a former player, you know, that's what, you know, people,
you know, who's asked to comment,
have to remember. You know, you're a former player and you've been in these situations. You know, sometimes there's fracture in the camp. You know what I mean? Now, on Saturday's performance against West Ham, you would say, well, there's nothing wrong, everything's fine. But not just in the camp, you look at the atmosphere at the stadium, it was almost like they drove the team to that level of performance. Do you understand what I mean? I mean, West Ham were average, I think, at best. But we just, I think West Ham turned up thinking we are dead and buried.
Right? It's strange Cardiff to think City. That, considering Cardiff had three defeats on the bounce. Well,
no, but I think West Ham turned up thinking Cardiff are dead and buried.
Right, sorry. Yeah.
They got nothing to offer.
Thinking
we'll just like cruise through it.
But the performance was from West Ham was, as soon as the goal, Cardiff
capitulated.
Went in. Yeah, it was nothing.
But, you know, Cardiff's performance level was probably the best it's been in perhaps a month. You'd say?
Arguably all season, Blakey.
Arguably all season, right. So, you know, where does that come from and why? But it's okay popping at people. Do you know what I mean? You know, if you're Neil Warnock, it's okay popping at people after you've got the result. You know, but there's certain situations that I'm not going to not say what I think. It's as simple as that. I played the game for a very long time at the highest level. So I'm going to give an opinion whether you like it or not. Do you understand what I mean? I'm paid to give an opinion. Now, when that opinion is backing and supportive, no one says a word. If you start to question, all of a sudden there's a problem. And that's what I don't like. I'm not down with that. I'm more down with, I try and overlook it, override it, and say, right, I'm just going to focus on what I see.
And view it with a bit of balance. And I think what we do on this podcast always is balance.
And we actually said, we hope that it's not splinters in the camp. We hope that the boys can get themselves together for whatever. Forget about whatever's going on off the pitch. We hope that they could come together and get a result. So for me, you know, I do understand as well, a few of the reporters used myself and Gabs and stood behind us whilst asking the question, rather than asking the question themselves, which is, you know...
I wasn't among those, but...
I know, but that did upset. Not me, I walked off a duck's back. Gab's very much the same, but I know people in and around our circles thought, you know, certain people tried to, like, throw us under a bit of a bus, but like I say, well, don't worry about it. If you're under a bus, you're just going to have to let it roll over you, get up and do what you're doing. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, you even if you're not paid to give an opinion, you got an opinion. And you're entitled to your opinion. Do you know what I mean? And you can only base that opinion on what you see. Now, you can't take the credit and then expect there never to be no negativity, because there's going to be. That's how football is, I'm afraid. You know what I mean? And Saturday's result proved it. Because exactly. We're on one tip, thinking this is all going pear-shaped, and all of a sudden the team pull out a performance, and you're thinking, wow. And the crowd pull out an atmosphere, and you're thinking, double wow. So you're like back on track. So, great. We're not disappointed by that. You know, we're not here to say, oh, we hope they lose so we can jump on someone.
You know, I think we said last week, didn't we?
Not bothered.
There are reasons why it's going wrong, but we hope that it turns on its head.
Right. It's like, it would be like me saying now this week to all those fans who are saying, oh, Sean Morrison shouldn't be in the team. What are you saying now then? You're all wrong, weren't you?
Yeah.
No, you're not wrong. You're entitled to your opinion. You know what I mean? If you feel that, you're allowed to speak that. And, you know, so managers coming for pundits, you know, I'm like, you're entitled to it if you want to, but, you know.
Just so many people just listen to you, Blake.
Absolutely, and it's, you know, just you know, I'm not going to get into a tit-for-tat.
No, and we
silly, like, you know, I'm going to speak of what I see. Like, Saturday, I can honestly say, arguably the best performance of the season.
And I was going to come on to, and, you know, there are probably several reasons not to do with team spirit, improved team spirit, dented team spirit as it was. Probably more on the field reasons why.
I know what you're getting at.
Why?
Certain players being
certain
back
players
involved.
Being on the top of their game.
Yeah.
Victor Camarasa for
a
start.
And Camarasa, I think Murphy, Hoylett. I did actually.
It's a new Hoylett, wasn't it?
Well, I did actually feel sorry for Junior because we were saying him out of the team the week before, but it was probably because he looked like he got mashed up fingers. And that's really difficult to play when you're slightly unbalanced. It sounds strange, but anyone who plays at any level knows, you know, when you hurt your fingers or your hand or something, when you're trying to do things, like usually you brush people off, you're really aware of it and stuff like that. But the start and the way he played, Junior, you know, we've said it before, whether he truly believes that he is top class, but he is. You know, he's the difference. He's shown that this season, and so many times last season. But he can be the difference. He definitely can.
I thought he was one of the best players in the championship
last season. We posed the question last week. Who's the one player who could really change things? And we said, well, Zahor.
Yeah.
Right. Zahor on his day can be, you know, a very difficult proposition for any defender.
I think I said Camarasa, to be fair.
You did say Camarasa, but on his day, he's going to be naughty. But Hoylett can be. You know, Murphy can be. So, you know, we've got three or four. Mendes Lang can be destructive, Mendes can. So you've got players that can do it. Arda, I thought, was out of this world.
I thought
he was brilliant.
Unbelievable.
So, you know, there may be a reason why, like you say, we've gone from poor performance and a real poor performance, the Everton performance, to all of a sudden then you chuck those boys back in, whether they needed refreshing in a week off or whatever, or poor, you know, performances kept them out, and Neil Warnock was trying to make a statement. But whatever's happened, it's worked.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I'm not bothered. I'm not going to get caught up tit for tat. All I'm bothered, we won. So we're back on track. So we focus on those results now and try and get more of the same.
When we talk about Hoylett as well, and probably one of the reasons we'd spoken about before the West Ham game about the three defeats was an inconsistency in Warnock's selections, people coming in and out. The system was a little bit confused. I thought at Wolves it was particularly confused, trying to fit people into the team where maybe they didn't fit. He went back to almost the tried and trusted Warnock Cardiff formula. Two wide men.
Yeah.
Nias, I thought, did very well, other than his finishing down the middle. And then the midfield three, very, very compact. It was almost like, that's how we play. That's how we get results.
Listen, I think we had 25-30% possession again. West Ham had 70%. I've always maintained we do need to take better care of the ball, right? But what you can do with that sort of tigerish competitiveness, that hunger, that desire, you're going to catch, even now, you're going to catch people off guard. West Ham turned up thinking we're top 16 and you're already gone and we're just going to play about with you and then we'll probably beat you 1-0 or 2-0. Well, it's a rude awakening. You know, you could tell by the manager's reaction, he couldn't believe that they were so complacent. But as Cardiff City, as the players, you've got to take advantage of that. And they took full advantage of it. Credit where credit is due. That's what I say, Dom. I don't do things for effect. We just look, we analyse, we give our opinion, right? We want Cardiff City to succeed. We want Cardiff City to win. We want Neil Warnock to do well. We want every player to do well.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, you want the best for what your club is. You want the best for them. So, great performance. But still, there's something I would say we can improve on, a stat we can improve on. Ball possession. Because it's okay when they're down, but when they're up and at it, and, you know, teams come like Watford's and Everton's and nick a goal or two, it's so difficult to get back in the game if you hardly got possession of the ball. But on Saturday's case, it didn't count.
There'll be some games as well coming up this season, I think, especially the Cardiff playing Burnley and Fulham are both away from home. I mean, both those teams will probably expect to have more of the ball than Cardiff, but neither are fantastic teams.
No, and neither should dominate you with possession.
And exactly, yeah. Right. They should go there trying to
have the share of them. Even if you look at a 60-40 situation for Cardiff, it shouldn't be like a 70-30 position. Do you know what I mean? That for me, that's giving too much to the opposition. Do you know what I mean? And not forgetting, Cardiff are at home. Yeah, and you can have a style of play, but I've said, and we've said previous, even when we've won games, well, we've won Saturday, but I'm still saying we could do with retaining more possession of the ball. Why? Because when you lose games, you look and you think, well, if you've got 25% possession of the ball and you concede early or you concede a goal, it's incredibly difficult to get back into the game.
And you put a lot of pressure on your defence because your opposition have got that much of the ball, they'll keep probing and they'll keep testing you.
Holy, although with Superman in goals, you ain't got much problems, man.
Doing alright, isn't he?
Alright, he's beyond alright. I think he's, you know, like I said, I think Manga as well was brilliant, but I don't know, probably Everidge is probably just edging player of the year for me so far. Maybe just edging.
I go 1-2-3. I think Etheridge, then Manga, then Camarasa. That's how I'd rank it at the moment. Gold, silver, bronze.
Okay. Not sure I'd agree with you. Bronze.
Okay.
Camarasa.
Who'd you go for in that slot? Bamba's got to be up there probably.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about 1-2-3 to be honest with you. I just thought
between those two.
It's probably between those two. Yeah.
Should talk about a little bit about Josh Murphy because. Again, like you say, it's easy to talk before the game. Warnock before the game said something interesting on his Friday press conference. He said, almost said, Murphy's been very poor in recent games and in training. And I felt as soon as he said that, Murphy's going to play on Saturday and I think he's going to play well. It was almost like a
psychological,
a mind game thing. And we saw
that's where Neil comes into his own.
Yeah.
That's really 50 years of football.
Motivated him.
Absolutely.
Murphy, didn't it?
Kicked him up the backside, up the derriere, you know.
Because what's Murphy lacked this season that he managed to show against West Ham, in your opinion?
Murphy in his personality is not an aggressive guy. He doesn't come across aggressive. But if you noticed, one thing which I think most people won't pick up on, you scored after 4 minutes. Everyone just went up. Levels, when there was a belief, a true belief. I always say, I've said this before on the show, there's a difference between when people say, yeah, I believe we're going to win, and truly believing you're going to win, right? Because often people say it for effect.
Before the game, not many believe Cardiff
would win. Don't believe it, right? So I look at Murphy and I think, incredibly talented. As you know, I've always liked him and I've always fancied him as a nine. Maybe he ain't quite got the aggression to play there. But he can be devastating on his day. He can be absolutely devastating. And I think, you know, you've got to take that self-responsibility as it doesn't matter if 15 of your teammates perform at the level two or three. You've got to personally try and perform at the six, seven, eight, nine consistently over the course of the season. And if you do that, you can affect other people, but he's not that, he's not like a Bamba figure. He's not like a Gunnarsson. He's not going to rant, rave, and what have you. And you know you have those different characters in your team, right?
He's a typical winger in a way, isn't he?
Yeah, I suppose.
They can be a bit in and out.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like, although I played winger, mate, and
I classed you as a striker.
Yeah,
mate.
Yeah. No disrespect. I know, but I was a winger from birth, really.
I was a winger, and I'm very much like that. In 11-a-side football.
I've seen your crossing, though.
But with Murphy, you feel like you say, performance level. It's either an 8 or it's a 4. He doesn't seem to have anywhere in between.
Well, that's the beauty of consistency, Dom. You ask any manager, two things they say is rely on trust. I've got to trust my players, and I want to rely on them, right? Now, if you ask Neil Warnock, would he rather an 8 and a 4, a 9 and a 2, a 10 and a 4, or would he rather a 6, 7, 8, a 6, 7? You'd go with the consistency because you know, right, I can build that because he's going to be doing this. So when you're putting it together, you know what each part of the jigsaw is giving you. But I think if he can find that consistency of his lowest being like a 6 and his better games being often 7-8, I'm not talking 9-10s every week, I'm talking 7-8, because...
When he has his better games, he contributes defensively. Like you say, he's a bit more aggressive, he gets the tackles in, he works back out, so his full back out. Mm. We almost expect him to do the attacking stuff as a given.
Mm.
I think that's the difference. Well, it is when you're performance level.
Well, when you're a player, if I was talking to Josh, I'd be saying to him, all I'm asking you to do is give me your best every week. Right? It sounds simplistic, but it is difficult to get that consistency. Right? Now in training, you might say, right, you're gonna have your session and right, Murphs, you're gonna come over and just beat the fullback. And I'm going to say to the fullback sometimes, don't allow him to beat you easily, but allow him to beat you. Get him into that rhythm of going past people, whether he goes inside, outside, inside. And just build his confidence. Because if he brings what he can do week in, week out, 9 times out of 10, or 7 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10, between there, he beats most defenders, most fullbacks in the league. Simply due to his pace.
Absolutely. I can't imagine Lee Peltier letting anyone go past him in training, though, to be honest. Like, I can just imagine him crunching him every time. Maybe he doesn't have to.
Let him go past you a couple of times, Pelts, and then pull him out of the stand, and then let him go again.
Rebuild his leg, and then carry on. Yeah. I mean, Peltier's another one. Fantastic since coming back into the team and showing why, we're talking about the manga thing so much, centre back, right back, but Peltier's performance at right back just make you think. He's got to play there.
Yeah, but you know what you're getting, Dom.
Yeah.
Just said that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He's another one.
I always say, but for me, Peltz has never struggled with consistency. He is the same block of 7-8, 6-7-8 every week. Where he struggles is when you're asking him to become an attacking fullback.
Yeah.
Right? He's not an attacking fullback. He's a cruncher. He's a muncher. He's going to sit in and he's going to... If they've got a dangerous winger, we'll be tied, mate, because he's going to put it on him, right? And that's what I love about it. That right-back position, if you're not going to play more attack-minded, if you're going to sit in and become a counter-attack team...
Perfect.
Yeah. Why? Because you're not going to be asking Peltz to get beyond Murphy. or Mendes Lang or Hoyler, who's having fun, you're not going to ask him to be getting beyond on the counter-attack. No. Once we break, you sit, full-back sit, and the wingers are the ones who go flying forward. So, yeah.
I said a lot that Felipe Anderson went off after 45 minutes as well. It probably said a lot about Peltier's performance.
No, Peltier's he's a kind of player who leaves a little bit on you here and there, even when he doesn't mean to.
Yeah.
He's horrible to play against. I wouldn't look forward to play against him. No. And I was really aggressive.
Yeah.
No.
And Anderson's no slouch, is he? He's a top player.
He is. He's like walks on water sometimes, that player. He's brilliant. So, you know, that gives Peltier a lot of confidence as well.
So now Cardiff have this strange break. None of us know really what to do with ourselves. International football, FA Cup football.
It's a strange time, isn't it?
It's like,
as soon as you get into the crescendo, it's like, break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everyone chill.
Although I loved Christmas, but you'd probably be better taking it back to, say, the end of January then or something like that and having that.
Yeah, absolutely. So what happens in this three-week break? Just as we talk about that, someone's going to break up this podcast.
Who's walking in?
Paul Abandonato's walking in the room.
Oh, how's the podcast?
Yeah, we're flying, mate.
You missed all the exciting chat, Paul.
Okay. You can listen back to it, though.
We're asking Blakey what happens now for Cardiff. How do they deal with this ridiculous break in action? And how do they continue the momentum was what I was going to say.
Yeah,
Blakey, the West Ham.
Yeah, that that is the worry, Dom, is... the momentum is, as we've seen so many times, it's huge. And especially for Cardiff, it's you know, they seem to be, everything seemed to be back. Players seem to be back. Crowds seem to be back. And just at the time when you're thinking, okay, you know, we can go now.
You almost want another game 2 days later, don't you, after the West Ham game?
Yeah, well, you miss the Brighton game now and you go to Chelsea, don't you? And that's a big ask.
Although,
Chelsea.
I think we said, Paul, might as well get you involved here.
Thank you.
of all the games against top six teams this season, is Chelsea at home the one you'd fancy the most?
Just to rewind quickly before I answer that, what could have been worse is the horror run has continued against West Ham, and then it would have been a long 20... Well, it's more than that even, Blakey. 3 weeks. It would have been a long 22 days... to lick your wounds. So at least they've gone into this big period on a bit of a high.
Yeah,
because they've lost the
Brighton game to FA Cup football.
Brighton game, they've obviously lost international. Mm-hmm. The international breaks, which are much longer these days. I know what you mean. I actually watched Chelsea. Was it last weekend when they played Wolves? I thought they were awful. Mm-hmm. They Hazard's got a wonderful goal in the last minute.
But you know, I watch a lot of Chelsea and I spend a lot of time at Chelsea. Honestly, Paul, the season that they won the league, they nicked it off. Man City were in it, Tottenham were in it, a few, and they won it. They had that type of team. Do you know when they're ready?
Yeah,
they can match Real Madrid, they can match Barcelona, they can match Juventus, and do you know what the great thing about Chelsea is? They got a mentality and they say, no, this is Chelsea. We are Chelsea. We are one of the biggest clubs in the world.
Yeah.
The players say that.
Yeah.
So, do you know, like, when they're ready, you know, I know they were average against Wolverhampton, but, do you know, when they're ready to turn on...
I agree with that, Blakey, but they can drop off.
Oh, they can.
Yeah,
they've got
a real lapse in them.
They've got Willian, Hazard and Higuain now, haven't they, and Pedro and people like that. So, you know, there's no doubting the flair they've got going forward. I actually do think their defence is more suspect than it's probably been for the best part of a decade or more, Blakey.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Aspilicueta has not been on fire.
He's not the player that he was. Luis suddenly looks more suspect in a two rather than a three.
Mm.
Rudiger, I'm not totally convinced about.
I'm tempted to put Callum Patterson on Jorginho and give him a pushing
Alonso is more of an attacking left. You see what I mean?
Alonso's not been in great form. You know,
Jorginho, rightly or wrongly, is getting a lot of flack. Kante is supposedly playing in the wrong position.
But he's brilliant still.
But he's a world-class player. So there comes a point. We've said this previously on the podcast, Dom. Cardiff's fate is determined by what they do against the teams around them. That's been the case from the start of the season, and it's even more apt as they get ready to play Brighton, Burnley, and Crystal Palace. Yeah,
Fulham as well.
And Yeah, Fulham have gone though. Yeah,
well, Fulham away is not a given.
You've got to take those three points.
Yeah, but they particularly got to beat Brighton and Burnley to drag them back into the mix more. But there comes a point where you know you do see these other teams getting these results or good performances against the top six sides, and even though the gap is humongous, well,
that was the signal, wasn't it? Southampton beating Spurs.
And so why can't Cardiff have a go at it? And maybe Chelsea can be vulnerable on an off day.
Well, everyone can be vulnerable.
No, but they're more vulnerable, I would say, Blakey, than a Man City or a Man United or a Liverpool.
Yeah, at this moment in time, yeah, you kind of, you're not sure what you're going to get from Chelsea.
Projecting it forward even further, Dom, in terms of the top six, that game against Liverpool down here, whenever that is it late April?
Yeah.
You know, you think they're going for the title, City are looking to stay up. The atmosphere at that one, Blakey, is gonna eclipse anything at that stadium so far this season. Absolutely rip roaring that's gonna be. And again, you know, they've got to look to,
I think the atmosphere, apart from the two or three games recently.
The Everton game was the only home game, right?
That was why, you know, you really started to get worried, because it was the first time.
Yeah, all the atmosphere. The atmosphere has been brilliant 90%+ of the time. But I think against Liverpool, it'll go up another level again, just because of the Liverpool fans that are coming down and looking to win the title. You know, and remember, Liverpool have got a massive following in Cardiff, Blakey as well. You know.
Less of that. Matt Wright here says that
United, isn't
he? He says
he's a Manchester boy, isn't he? Don't swear at him.
Matt Wright here says, do Cardiff actually need to take points from a top six team to avoid relegation? Because
I think you do. I think at some point you need that. I always allude to the last time we were in the Premier League, and right off the get go, they done Man City at home. You do need those surprise results, you know, because those teams fighting relegation, your Burnleys, your Southamptons, your Crystal Palace, they will pick those results up, simple as that. And, you know, you can't rely simply upon six-pointers against the teams around you. You do need to pick up points off your Everton's, your Tottenham's, you know, your Arsenal's, those kind of teams. You do need to try and gather, even if it's a point.
And have Cardiff really come close to doing it? They haven't really, Arsenal, have they?
Maybe.
Yeah, the two Arsenal games, they played well.
Yeah,
but
I would say Arsenal was probably, against the top six, was probably the two games where I thought, like, we gave them a real good game.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially away from home.
Yeah, you weren't looking at the massive gap or nothing between us.
I think why it's relevant now is, you know, is it nine or eight games left? No, it's nine games left.
Nine games.
Four and five away. I think why it's relevant now is because what worries me is with Fulham and Huddersfield so adrift, Blakey, and teams taking points off them all the time, yeah? What worries me is that 18th place position, you might need 40 points in that position to stay up this season. You know, you've got teams like Brighton.
Oh, we're 28 at the moment. Yeah, I would say we're going to need. I was under the impression we're going to be about 34. I would say it's going to be about 38 now.
I don't know. That's what I mean. 34 is not. So I think you might need to get 38, 40 points. And if there was a demoralising aspect of a brilliant performance, that for me, I don't know what you've said about West Ham. For me, that was the best performance of the season.
They actually
played some football for a change and missed clear-cut openings as well. Which I didn't worry about, because against Wolves there wasn't a single clear-cut opening created from what I remember. But, you know, if there was a slight demoralising factor, it was to learn that Brighton had won and Southampton had won and Newcastle had won.
It's where it is, though, Paul. That's why it happens.
No, but that's up the ante. So you know, you've got teams there.
We're all fighting for it.
33 points already and things like that, whose City could drag back in. And, you know, when you're on 33 points, you're only two wins away from 39, Nathan. Do you see what I mean? So I think Cardiff somehow have got to get up to that.
I do, Paul.
40 point rate. So they might have to take something off of Chelsea or Liverpool to do that, you know?
Excellent start. Paul's come in. You can't stop him talking.
He's got straight into it, isn't he? I could see when we walked past him earlier. He was itching, thinking,
he had a bit between his
without
teeth.
Me. Yeah.
Sorry for starting without you, Paul. Very important meeting was to be had with your presence, wasn't it? Right, let's have a quick break then, and they've got a lot of questions for Blakey to get through.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
Blake, we'll start with this one from Emir Wynne-Jones.
Emir Wynne-Jones, what a great name.
Sort of following on from what we've just spoken about in a way, but about how Cardiff may tackle those games in detail. He says, is it best against the top teams to do a big defensive job on them? He says, everyone seems to shove 10 men behind the ball and rely on goal difference.
I would look, what Rafa Benitez does. I would look at Newcastle, I was going to say, and Wolves. Two teams that sit deep, and especially Wolves, create chances from counter-attack and speedy counter-attack. The one thing you've got to have with counter-attack, and we said this many moons ago on the Boot Room, I think before you were even here at Media World, is what you've got to have with counter-attack is you've got to have pace. And for many years, under Russell Slade and people like that, what we didn't have was any sort of pace. The only pace we had was in Kadeem Harris, and he was never played. And even under Trollope started putting him at right back, which we never understood in the Boot Room. So if you're going to play, if you're going to concede possession anyway, which what we do, right? Because we're usually 70-30 balance. What you work on is, right, what happens when you win the ball? Right? And that's what something you can say.
That's what the last time game showed, wasn't it?
Yeah, when you win the ball, explosive. Right, wingers go. Camarasa, gone. You're gone to support the striker.
Nias.
You know, Nias, yeah, Nias. Camarasa gone to support him. Two wingers fly in. And then you've got players like Arta and Gunnarsson who can both pass the ball, can find a Camarasa, can find a Nias, can find a Murphy. And you work on that counter-attack. I think, you know, that is so relevant for us at the moment. If those are little things that are going to help you stay up.
Team had real pace on Saturday, didn't it?
Yeah, it was naughty.
Two wingers and the striker.
Yeah,
really quick. The fullbacks quick. They were okay. The midfield trio are not quick, but none of them are slouches.
I'm not sure Peltier he'd be thanking you for calling him quick.
Well, he's no.
I'm only joking.
Right.
I'm joking.
But do you see what I mean? I think Arthur is quite quick.
It's called dressing room banter, Paul. You'll understand.
All right. So you know that had a much better balance to it, that team on Saturday, didn't it? Which I'm sure you both discussed already. But it did. The balance was there. I've said all along that midfield trio has got to play together now. Arta, Gunnarsson, Camarasa. I saw them at Leicester. They were magnificent. Hunting as a unit. Did the same on Saturday. And that is one advantage of the break line, Blakey. The walking wounded Camarasa, Bennett, Arta can get themselves fit for the next game, which, you know, they may well not be.
At this stage of the season, Paul, as well, you are bumped and knocked and bruised.
Yeah, but when you
and you are going to have to, you know, pre-season, first game of the season, you don't go out. You rarely go out. I don't know any time. I can't remember going out on the pitch fully fit. I probably was 11 the last time I went on the pitch fully fit. Right? But this stage of the season, you know, and it's been a battle royal, you are. So this little break, fantastic for those players who are carrying little minor or not major, but those ones in between knocks, which may take a week or two.
Yeah.
This break is ideal for them. And then what I'd be saying, it's like charging the Light Brigade. Last 10 games, 9 games, you know, what have we got to lose? Everyone expected us to be in a position, well, everyone expected us to be two below where we are right now, right? Cut adrift, right? But we ain't in with a fighting chance. You know, West Ham is not the result that gets us to stay up, so let's not get carried away. But you go and try and get a point against Chelsea, even a win, and then you start to, you're looking at two good results back to back, because you are going to hop back to West Ham, change your confidence, start to pick up points, because you know we thought they were gone. Literally I did, on hand on heart, I thought they've gone.
I think whatever Cardiff do in the next couple of weeks, they need to wrap Victor Camarasa in cotton wool, don't they? Put him in a, lock him in a padded cell or something, tell him not to go outside and look after his all his various ailments.
More questions?
What about this one from Tim Burns? Really good one, I think.
All right, Timothy.
He says, should we survive this season 2 or maybe even 3 if our key players are on loan? The summer would either see the club retaining their services, buying them, or replacing them. He says, Those three are to Camarasa and Nias. If Cardiff stay up, how integral is it that they stay?
Well,
because they have become.
I'd love to see
all.
I'd love to see all three of them stay. You know, I do think Nias, if he gets a goal, will start to score goals. I don't think he's ever going to be prolific, but I still think he can get 10 goals in a season, definitely. So I think it's not imperative, because you can go and get other players of similar quality. But to galvanise that team spirit, that camaraderie, you try and keep those players involved. Now, you might have a situation with the lad from Liverpool, what was his name? The midfielder who didn't come back.
Grich.
Yeah, he might be wanting to go. You know, Adam might get approached by a Watford and think, ooh, that's a better proposition for me. You know, when they're on loan, well, it is just that, they're loans. But I wouldn't worry too much about going back into the market in the summer and picking up that kind of ability again. You know, there was a striker I mentioned a few months ago. He played for Juventus the other day, Moise Keane. You know, he scored a couple of goals. He was someone I was saying earlier on in the season, you know, get your stuff sorted right, go over there, the club, and go and pick him up. I will try and get him on loan for the season, because, you know, you need that striker who wants to prove himself, you know. So I wouldn't worry too much, but what I would say behind the scenes off the field, Cardiff do need to get the transfer policy and the scouting and the recruitment. They need to get that tied up. I think they need someone alongside Kentu to help Kentu. And after recent situation, I would say, you know, it becomes an in-house thing now. It's not down to the manager. Yes, the manager says, these are the kind of players I want, and you select the type of players that fit into the philosophy you're playing. But it's handled, and recruitment, and if Neil leaves tomorrow, do the club have their own scouting and recruitment people in place, or are they Neil's people in place? That's where I say the change has to happen for Cardiff to progress.
And so much, I guess, is in flux between now and the end of the season, staying up or going down. Cardiff will need two different contingency plans in place, really. One if they go down, and one if they stay up.
Absolutely.
I think you said the same.
Well, the beautiful thing is they're not paying out ridiculous wages. So when they go down, probably the highest paid players are on loan, probably. So when they go, you can make a choice. If you stay up or go down, you make a choice whether you want them again for next season. They'll probably make a choice if we go down, not to return to the club. So, you know, going down, it's like if Fulham go down, they're in an Aston Villa situation. Fulham,
and it's, you know, it's really,
and you know, the beauty of it for us is we're not. You look at Stoke City, you look at West Brom. West Brom, by the way, wow, that's all I can say on that one. Wow,
fourth in the league, is that the manager?
Wow, but yeah, they're right. Going to have to find. I hope Cardiff, Kentu, and sorry to cut you, Paul. Kentu and Mehmet and the owner, I hope they put together things and put a proper recruitment team in place for Cardiff City, so no one else can influence it. You know, if the manager, whoever the manager may be, says these are the kind of players I want, the club says, well, these are the kind of players we're looking at to fit into how we want to play, and then the manager should agree, because he should fit in with the same philosophy as you. You know?
Well, long term, that sounds a good idea.
I mean, it's fascinating that Blake should mention the Fulham Stoke situation there, because it puts it in perspective. Because over the last, well, certainly Dom saw it yesterday, but I've been looking over the last 3-4 days, 30 odd pages of Cardiff's accounts. Yeah, that they registered on the 25th of February. That's a mind numbing job for journalists who are not financial experts.
No, mate, I tend to go on and look at the end of year accounts myself.
If Keith Morgan, the chairman of the Supporters Trust, is listening, who is a finance expert, thank you, Keith, for your helping us to decipher them a little bit. But they paint a far more rosy picture, Blakey, today, in terms of the overall debt.
Well, of course, because your stadium's full.
Than they did before. And, you know, it's the antithesis of what Fulham would be like.
Well, the stadium's full. Merchandise is going.
It's a far rosier picture. that I think lends itself to the opportunity to sign the right players on the salaries.
Well, comes next season. Next season comes, is Neil staying? I think you signed another year earlier on the season. Do we go and continue with that? Or does Neil go upstairs? This is something that's been spoken about. Or does Neil, at no offence to the old man, but at 70, 71, does he think, all right, if we stay up, right, I've got it, I've done it. My work is done in football. I've achieved what I want to achieve. He might think, no, I want to go and prove it that I can do it a second year.
So, well, I think so many of these questions depend on these up or down.
Yeah, these are so up in the air. But I just hope that, like I say, the club have put their plans in place and speaking to the right people.
I don't agree with you on West Brom, by the way. I think that West Brom team should be walking that championship with the quality they've got. But that's for a conversation another
time. Yeah, well, no. Let's have that quick debate. Okay. Because I'm looking at it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it like, you know, remember last season when Bristol City were at the top and then they went for like a 15, almost a third of the season when they didn't win a game?
Yeah.
You know, spent big dough.
Yeah.
Yeah, so spending big dough doesn't automatically give you the line right.
No.
Right?
No.
And if you look at Aston Villa, where they are,
yeah,
with the wages and the players they got, you look at Stoke City, where they are, you look at Swansea City, who've gone down. I'd be interested to see how many times teams will get relegated, bounce straight back up. Mm. Right? And I tell you what, there's not many.
I think it happens less and less now.
It does happen less and less. So if you said to West Brom's board at the end of last season, okay, I'm going to have you within striking distance of the top two, or in and around, I'm going to have you in the top six, definitely almost guaranteed a playoff position, and within striking distance of automatic promotion in March, mid-March.
When they were miles off the bottom of the
looking at other Stokes, examples, Stoke your Stokes
Swansea.
And your
Swansea,
and your Aston Villas, and I think they would have snatched your hand off. So
I suppose the comparison would be, we can relate this to Cardiff, because if we rewind to that memorable Millennium Stadium win when Andy Candle scored the League One playoff winner, Sam Hammam, rightly or wrongly, like the West Ham board now, rightly or wrongly, felt Cardiff should have won that league. They had the personnel to win that league that season. And they finished sixth, from what I remember, under Lenny Lawrence. But he stuck by Lenny, I suppose. And then Lenny took City up in the playoffs because they were the best team. Yeah.
Can anyone honestly tell me that they thought Norwich would be fighting Leeds for the top of the championship this year?
Nobody thought that. I don't think even...
I had money on them, didn't I?
Did you?
25-1, yeah. Once I saw them play at Cardiff with those strikers, I thought, hang on.
On Leeds or
no,
Norwich?
No, Norwich. I thought, this is a serious team. But not many did, to be fair.
Right,
yeah,
so like now you're looking at someone like Sheffield Wednesday with Steve Bruce going in.
You're
fancying them to charge.
Who've West Brom appointed? Have they appointed anybody yet?
Well, Jukanovic, former Fulham boss, is the big favourite to take over.
Yeah, that would have already been sorted, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I take your point, Paul. I think when you've got that sort of team, what I would say is playing in that league, because you go from playing once a week to all of a sudden playing twice a week.
Yeah,
it takes its toll on you.
Yeah, it does.
And it's not a surprise, but you have to. Everything changes.
It's almost like you get the feeling, rightly or wrongly, that the board there feel that team should have been at the top. And player wise,
I think it's nothing to do with that.
No.
And you know it's not.
Well, you know it's not.
That's what I'm saying.
Blake,
if I walk out on the street now and I see a four-legged animal and it starts barking and it goes up a lamppost, cocks his leg and wheezes, right? What do I think it's going to be? A lion?
What I'm saying is,
if it walks like a dog, backs like a dog.
What I'm saying is you almost feel that they wanted the first opportunity to get rid of him.
Nah.
And as soon as they
lost, but you've got to ask yourself why.
Yeah, all right, well, we won't go to that, but as soon as...
Yeah, but that's the problem, see, Paul. That's the whole problem with the race issue.
I can't
because people don't
it,
want don't, to go into it.
I don't know the
no, we don't know. I don't know the ins and outs of it. I don't know the ins and outs of it. But if you're going to have the debate, if you're going to open the debate, you've got to be prepared to speak about what I'm just is talking, right on the tip of your nose.
I'm just talking about playing wise, right?
I know.
That board will think that group of players should be at the top of the
absolutely
championship.
Not.
Right?
Absolutely not. Why would they? Because they've been in the championship many times. I think they've only won it once.
I think they're the best team in the championship.
Yeah, you can think you're the best team.
Yeah.
But the best team wins the league.
Yeah, of course.
Cardiff are supposed to be the worst team in the Premier League, and they're proving that they're not.
But
so.
The world,
anyway, interesting.
There you go. Great analogy, right, Dominic. I'm going to South Manchester boy.
I'm going to finish the.
No predict- That's what he said to me. He didn't say Manchester, he said South Manchester. Oh, okay.
I get in trouble if I say I'm actually from Manchester because I'm from Stockport.
But you are right. I don't think Norwich and Leeds would have been expected to be in the top two in the Championship this year.
But know that someone's always going to be there.
They are there. Just like Cardiff weren't expected last season. There are, that's a hardly. Mm. It's a hardly.
Right, we're going to finish instead of.
Have we got any more questions? Sorry.
No, instead of predictions, we're going to finish with a little Cardiff.
How
City
did I do last
quiz.
Week with my predictions? Did I do all right?
Well, you didn't predict Cardiff, right? You said 2-0 West Ham, and it was 2-0 Cardiff.
Yeah, I know.
Bad to worse.
Yeah, I know.
And Palace,
that's
weren't,
why
in
I don't gamble, you
Palace
see.
Weren't in there, so you didn't get them right either. We're going to finish with a little Cardiff City quiz this week instead of predictions. So I've got in front of me Cardiff City's top scorers this season. There are four players
on 4 goals.
On 4 goals. And there are also, for some bonus points, 2 players on 3 goals.
Okay.
If you can name it, I'll give you first dibs, Blakey, because it's your name on the podcast.
I'm the first person with 4 goals.
Could you tell what
Bamba.
You name one?
Bamba.
Right. So now Paul has to name one.
A bit throw that.
Paul.
Well, I was going to say Bamba. Callum Patterson.
Patterson is correct. Back to you, Blakey. Either someone on 4 or 3.
Hoylett.
Hoylett's on 3.
I was going to say Hoylett as well. You're nicking all mine, Blakey.
Pressure on Paul.
We got one.
Pressure's on Paul. I got one. Camarasa.
Camarasa is right, he's on 4.
Reed
is right, he's on 4.
Is he? One really?
One see, and you didn't know that one.
I didn't know Reed was on 4.
One to name, Paul, otherwise the points are for Blakey.
Well, that's got to be Josh Murphy.
Well, full marks apiece, he's on 3.
We know our stuff.
Okay, who else has scored 1 then for Cardiff City this season?
Well, how many are we talking about?
Oh, there's
quite a few.
5 people have scored 1.
There's a few.
Including not in the league.
Gunnarsson
is right. Mm-hmm. He scored 1.
Danny Ward scored against Arsenal.
That's right, Danny Ward.
Zoho.
Of course.
Zoho.
Kenneth Zoho scored 1.
Zoho.
There's 3 more.
Joe Riles?
No.
No?
Gunnarsson.
Goes back to Blakey. You already said him.
Oh, did I say Gunnarsson? Did
yeah.
I would go with Mendes Lang.
Yeah, he scored against Arsenal.
Yeah,
good
early
goal.
On the season.
I remember his goal.
So there's 1 more league goal and 1 goal in the League Cup that you've not said the scorer of.
I don't think Harry
Manga.
Arthur. Manga scored in the League Cup. But Blakey's running away with it.
I don't think Harry Arthur scored, has he, Blakey?
I don't know what you're asking me for. It's a competition.
The last one. The last.
I like the way you
that's
do
called
that.
Cheating.
No, that's kind of that's the kind of stuff my mum would have done to me years ago.
Yeah, and you would have gone. And oh,
I would have
yeah.
gone. No.
I got a feeling Kadeem Harris scored a goal.
Well done.
He did, mate.
He did.
Scored against Fulham.
Yeah. Fulham
scored against Fulham.
That's a pretty good going, Blakey.
Yeah, well, a
couple of wrong answers from Paul, so I'm giving the points to Blakey.
I think it was a joint effort. I think that was very good. Very good.
Very good effort, and yeah. Tweet us at Cardiff City Live if you want more quizzes for the chats between now and the end of the season, because I think it could be a goer.
That'd be good. That would every week for a fan to write in a little teaser.
Blakey's teaser.
Blakey's teaser. That was a good one, Dom. I like that.
All right. Well, we'll be back just before the Chelsea
Save
game.
My predictions.
To get Blakey's all important predictions. And look ahead to the rest of the run-in for Cardiff City. All right, well, from the three of us today, it's goodbye and thank you.
Oh, can we just say, good luck to Wales.
But yeah, big
in
games.
In both codes, football and rugby. We'll be winning the Six Nations.
I can't believe you mentioned rugby on this podcast.
Well, you know, it's every so often when, you know, I'm a glory supporter, isn't I? It's, oh, man. So,
you
only sing when you're winning.
Cardiff,
they'd be singing to me. You only sing when you're winning. I'd be saying, that's right, yeah. So, good luck to the boys, and also good luck to the footy as well.
Yep.
So we get some positive results and some momentum there too.
Big Grand Slam weekend to come in Cardiff, and I'm sure Paul will be delighted if I plug Wales Online and say you can read all about the Six Nations on Wales Online.
Over the best coverage.
Grand Slam winner. Good luck. Blakey's right. Good luck to Ryan Giggs in his first major qualifier against Slovakia on Sunday week.
Come on, Wales.
At Cardiff City Stadium, I might add.
Excellent stuff. Thank you both for your contributions today. Remember, you can listen to us on Acast, Spotify, iTunes, or, of course, on Wales Online. And the podcast is brought to you by Giovanni's. Thanks for listening.